Welcome to the Reading Room, the Diagnostic Imaging Podcast. I am Jeff Hall, the Senior Editor for Diagnostic Imaging. In our latest podcast, the last of a three-part podcast, we'll be discussing challenges with integrating abbreviated breast MRI and breast cancer screening, as well as directions for future research. I am pleased to be joined on this podcast episode by Doctors Stamatia Destunis, Emily Conant, and Habib Rabar. Dr. Destunis is the managing partner of Elizabeth Wendt Breast Care in Rochester, New York. Dr. Destunis is also the chair of the American College of Radiology's Breast Imaging Commission and a member of the ACR's Board of Chancellors. Dr. Conant is a professor emeritus with the Department of Radiology at the University of Pennsylvania Health System. Dr. Rabar is a professor and executive vice chair of radiology at the University of Washington School of Medicine. Now let's get to the questions for Dr. Destunis, Dr. Conant, and Dr. Rabar. What are other practical considerations and potential challenges in integrating abbreviated breast MRI into clinical practice?
I think Dr. Conant touched on this a lot already. I'm really interested to hear her more about this, but I think it's really a thing for me. It's about how do we do this in an equitable manner, and really encouraged by the research that she's shown and how she's been able to get grants and additional funding to support patients to get this who couldn't normally afford it, because a lot of people are doing abbreviated MRI, as an out-of-pocket type of study. And our goal is really to be able to provide this for all patients, because equity is really, really critical. And we know that there are massive disparities in breast cancer treatment and breast cancer diagnosis, especially in women of color.
We have such a push for the Find and Early Act and also for all diagnostic evaluations to be covered state to state. And there's a big federal push to have some laws in place to protect women so they don't have to pay out of pocket for whatever happens after the screening. But in reality, most even women that have insurance, their diagnostic workup does come out of their pocket, whether it's additional mammographic views, the ultrasound part of the biopsy. So I think it's great what Emily's doing, and we hope that we can all like do more to get the populations of women that can't get to even their diagnostic evaluation. So the patients that can afford it typically are the ones that are getting the yearly mammograms and are coming back for their workups, whatever that may be, mostly.
The only comment that I have is the steep learning curve of how to do the abbreviated, and I mentioned it, early on. But it really is a team effort to work in a positive manner with the technologists to show them the great things they're doing, but also where are they spending their times. I mean, I have a chart that I show when I talk about abbreviated MRs about how our expected protocol time versus our actual scan time, and how, we learned from that and shared it with our technologists and talked about what is it that's taking a long time, and why is the abbreviated MR actually taking only, 6 minutes, 8 minutes less than the full? Because MRs can be a very profitable and very obviously important study. But to emphasize that it's a team approach to how to do this efficiently, get the IVs done by a whole nother group outside of the room, not the technologists who are finishing scanning a prior patient. Make sure the patient understands, the positioning and the need to be still, et cetera, like that. Explain it all to her and be prompt in terms, get her off the table when the reconstructions are done. Have a team working on this. And that's so important in an MR suite, particularly right now. I know we're backlogged, as I said, from post-COVID resurgence, and we want to be efficient.
But it all costs money because that's additional staff, which you have to convince your administrators or, your partners or the owners or whoever that you need all this additional staff in order to be able to get that workflow to be optimal.
What would you like to see in terms of future research on abbreviated breast MRI?
It really is, in my mind, continuing to figure out and hone in exactly on the precise populations that are going to get the most benefit from this. And I think that's going to be partly answered with improved imaging biomarkers of risk that are probably part of the MRI itself. So I think learning how we're going to incorporate more advanced imaging, like Dr. Conan was talking about before, radiomics, background Prandtl enhancement, other features that will add to the coarse concept of density, which is a really, poor population level marker of risk to identify who's most at risk at 5 years of having breast cancer, so we can be more aggressive about screening and say these are the patients who should get more frequent MRIs. I think also application of artificial intelligence to improve the efficiency around a revisited MRI and maybe even get to the point where we can have non-contrast based contrasts like abbreviated MRIs, where we're leveraging tools like diffusion weighted imaging and taking the T1 signal that we have from a standard MRI and getting a contrast like examination that would improve access even more, decrease costs without having to give gadolinium. And then we would say those that have abnormalities on those type of examinations would then get the gadolinium later. And we could even get to the point where AI tells us that upfront while they're on the scanner and say, okay, stick around in 30 minutes, we're going to get an IV and then get the contrast. So we could decrease the gadolinium use and improve access overall. I think we can move to almost like a mammo style screening approach with artificial intelligence, where our recalls from non-contrast based MRI could then have us do more diagnostic based MRIs down the line and be even more efficient and provide it to a broader population. I think that's the exciting areas for me.
I think we've discussed all the some of these points, but reimbursement, how are we going to get paid for these protocols and standardization? I think we do need that. So we all should be doing the same things because we kind of are in a very large variable. Everyone's collecting kind of heterogeneous environment with this great technology. So in order for our data and our metrics, to collect metrics to be meaningful, we kind of have to standardize a little bit more what we're doing. It may be that we do need the diagnostic protocol for the newly diagnosed breast cancer patients, or maybe the chemo assessment patient, but not the other patients, or maybe the first time, but not every time. It would be nice to be able to collect this information meaningfully so we know what population is best benefiting from this. Is it the personal history, the dense breasts, or all the other nuances of parenchymal, density? So I think we just need to collect more and know more, but I do think some of the real hindrances here are people are afraid to abbreviate too much, and then they don't know how to bill that. And then some people are sort of doing that, but they're still billing the other code, the full diagnostic. So I think it's really hard to understand where to go from here because we have such a variability within our global community on this.
So I agree with everything they've said. Again, I'm really interested in equitable service and access. And I think that some of the topics that have been brought up could even be done as reader studies of already gained data. Like, how often do you need the T2? I mean, we've sort of looked at that before, and it was like 3%. But also, how often, I really agree with Tula's comment on monitoring chemo. I want a full scan on those ladies. I really
Yeah, I know. I know.
But let's do some studies of all of these things. And as she also said, and so did Habib, that standardizing an approach that's reimbursed, contrast, gadolinium is crazy expensive. That's why we charge $2.99 at Penn, because it costs a lot,
Yeah, it is a lot.
gadolinium. But let's get some of these studies getting going, because we've already shown that abbreviated MR or MR has a huge impact on cancer detection. And again, just I'm not sure if this is, we haven't really mentioned this, but the cancers are the bad cancers. Yes, we can see some DCIS. Those are also seen by mammo usually.
Tomography.
But the incredibly aggressive things that we can't see, that's why we need contrast. And that's why we need the extent of visualization of the entire breast, the axilla, the chest wall, that we can obtain in MR.
And I think Habib said this already, since we don't have long-term data for MRI, like we have decades with mammography, we're kind of looking at this information as the reduction in interval cancers, which come in within the screening interval, the reduction in the stage of the breast cancer, reduction of positive lymph nodes, we are making a difference. So this information, this is important. We're finding cancers that kill patients, and we're finding them when they're smaller and treatable, which is kind of, what we should be all about. So, collecting all this information, not just for the prevalent round, like Habib said, but also for the incident rounds, to keep collecting this information to see, how meaningful the MRI is every other year, possibly, if not every year, for the patients. So
And
making it
there
more
is,
affordable that way.
yeah, and there is some really good data coming out on that, just beginning to come out on, multiple rounds. We have the, publication, but also from Europe, looking at the stage and size of
Of
cancers in
course,
pregnant
yes.
children.
And
It's
as
fascinating.
I'm the ACR Breast Commission Chair, and I know the guidelines are very complicated and confusing. The ACR came out, just a few years ago with, dense breasts and patients with personal history of breast cancer, MRI is the right thing to do with mammography. European society, has different criteria, and everyone has different criteria. So if the appropriateness criteria are different than what the ACR came out with a few years ago. So we have to work on our guidelines so they're more consistent and more meaningful, so we're not all confused, not just the referring physicians, the radiologists, and of course the patients will be confused by all of these.
Anybody want to add anything else?
I just think it's such an exciting time. We're really at the precipice of getting to much more individualized, personalized screening and making sure we're applying the right technologies to the right women and decreasing the mortality and not just mortality, but the morbidity associated with more aggressive treatments. There's so much going on in breast cancer care, and it's really exciting for imaging to be a big part of it.
I'd like to thank Dr. Destunis, Dr. Conant, and Dr. Rabar for sharing their insights on this topic. I would also like to thank the listeners for joining us in the Reading Room, the Diagnostic Imaging Podcast. As always, visit diagnosticimaging.com for the latest news and perspectives in radiology.